I'm Paul Wiegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are the co-founders of Gable Music Ventures, the CEO, Gail Dillman, and the COO, Chief Operating Officer, Jeremy Hebel. Welcome.
Thanks so much for
Thank
having
you.
Us.
So glad to have you back. We are here today to talk a little bit about your work with Gable Music Ventures, but in general, but specifically about the upcoming seventh iteration of the Ladybug Festival in Wilmington, and this year expanding to Milford, Delaware as well.
Yes, Welcome. Indeed. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So glad to have you here. It's really exciting to see the work that you're doing here in Delaware in sort of coordinating programming for Delaware. And so let's talk a little bit about your background, your history. I mentioned it's the seventh year. Let's go back to the beginning. What pulled this together?
Oh, boy. It's hard to even remember some days, but essentially we were given a very small budget by Mike Schwartz, who at the time had owned most of the property down on 2nd and Market Street. He wanted to do a thank you party for the people who live down there and the businesses down on what is now known as the Loma Block. So we started putting it together, and we got this idea. It was the same time that Firefly was coming into town, and there was a lot of people who were unhappy with the fact that there were no local bands on the lineup. So we thought, hey, well, you know, we'll make this a local event right before Firefly. Let's think of a bug name. Oh, Ladybug is a good bug name. Let's get an angle to it. Well, let's do women. Let's have this about women. So it was a happy accident in some ways that we put this all together, and without really thinking that, oh, that's the state bug of Delaware. Who knew that at the time? But we decided to make this event all about women and have it the Thursday before Firefly. Now, since then, Firefly had moved their dates, but we decided to stick with that date. And actually, this is the first year we're not going to be on a Thursday. We're going to be on a Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, it was also not just that there were no local musicians on the lineup, but it was also just the expense of going. There was a lot of people that we were seeing that would have loved to go on, but could not afford to. And so we wanted to kind of create like a free alternative for people that, you know, were not able to do that. And so it really was the perfect storm of things coming together. We were given a budget at the right time, and the whole first event came together in about 6 weeks.
Now, was Gable Music Ventures already an entity doing programming?
Yeah. We were, limitedly. When we had started by doing do-it-yourself pop-ups, and we primarily used the Loma Block of Film Brothers at the time was down there, and we used Chris White Gallery. So those were the two places that we did these little pop-up shows.
But yeah, very infrequently. I mean, every few months we had something going on. So Ladybug really kick-started the business, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's is now, you know, a year-round project that we're working on and have some staff coming on board and everything. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Gail's having some coughing fits here.
Jeremy,
I'll just engage you also while Gail recuperates. Now, from the beginning, how have you seen the Ladybug Festival grow?
Really organically, it's been really cool. We like to talk about how it seems like every time someone comes, they come back the following year with multiple people with them. So we quickly saw the attendance in the first year was estimated at around 300 to 500 people. It's pretty hard to tell since it's not ticketed and people come and go. But based on how many people were inside the venues and on the street, Downtown Visions usually will give us what their estimate is. And since they've always done, we always go with whatever they say. But, you know, last year, over 2 days, it was anticipated that there were, you know, 10,000 plus people there. Thursday last year was, I think, 103 degrees. There was a heat warning, you know, stay home.
Right.
And we still had just thousands of people out. And so it's really it's turned into a really beloved event. And we're so excited to see how much the concept excites people. There was just some really awesome press that the News Journal did about, you know, the very sharp lack of women artists, not just at Firefly. They were highlighting Firefly, but at really all these major festivals, and kind of looked at how, you know, their greatest weakness, having no women, is really our greatest strength. The fact that everybody is very excited by the concept of this event, and yet for some reason it's like the major festivals have yet to realize that female artists are something that pretty much everybody likes to see and likes to enjoy.
So I was going to say, it's not that there aren't female artists, it's just the opportunities provided for them is limited.
Right. Yeah.
So how have you seen You talked about audience, you know, evolving and growing. What about performers? How did you originally identify them, and has that changed over time as more artists become aware of the festival?
Yeah, absolutely. When we first started, one of the reasons we loved the idea of doing this as a celebration of women in music is that, you know, some of the artists we were closest to at the time, Angela Sheik, Noel Pokora, Gina Degnars, I mean, they were overwhelmingly female. And so it wasn't like we were like, oh man, how are we going to find these artists? It was going to be a lot easier for us to do an all-female festival early on, whether that be that the business is owned by a woman. I'm guessing that had something to do with it. But now we have submissions. I mean, people submit to be considered from all over the country, all over the world, other countries. It's really exciting. We kind of get that opportunity to find that artist that is, we think, about to break before they're, you know, too much for us to afford. And also before, you know, the point where, you know, the fans that come to the festival, we'll get to see them, meet them, shake their hands. They're much more accessible at this point than they will be even, you know, 6 months to a year.
Let's talk about the dates for this year in Wilmington and what the programming looks like.
I can try and talk again.
Gail's back.
Sorry, got that summer cold. July 20th and July 21st.
Which is a Friday and Saturday.
On the 20th, we'll start at 5 o'clock and we'll end about 10. And then on...
Still on Loma.
Nice. Mm-hmm. But the 21st, we're excited. We're going to be introducing Little Ladybugs, and that will be at the Delaware History Museum.
Oh,
and that'll
great.
Be at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, we've got. So we're going to go from the 400 block to the 600 block on Saturday. So primarily utilizing the Queen Theater, but also, you know, Merchant Bar, Farmer and the Cow, Delaware History Museum, you know, the Copeland Room, as well as Old Town Hall. These are all going to be venues for music on Saturday. And like Gail said, we wanted to have some children-specific programming this year, which we're calling Little Ladybugs. And so we've got, you know, three different acts that are going to be performing children's music inside the Delaware History Museum, as well as some storytelling, some free face painting for kids and things like that. And that's going to be going from 2 to 4. And then the whole rest of the block is going to be pretty much having live music and vendors and everything.
And food.
From about 3 to 8 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, everything's going to go downstairs. All the music is going to go downstairs to the Queen for the big headliner show. And we've got three acts that are headlining on Saturday. And one's Bronnie, who's from the UK. Another is Grace Von Der Koon, who's from right here in Wilmington. And then Lauren Ruth Ward, who is originally from Baltimore, but has been out in L.A. for the last 4 years. We're really excited to have her while we can, because we really think that
she's very excited.
Waited a year, she would no longer be affordable for us to work with.
And that is also a free show. There is limited capacity in the room, so it's first come, first serve. But we're really excited about that show, and we're very excited to have people come to the Delaware History Museum as well to see what that's all about. The first 100 people will also receive a free ticket to come back to the History Museum.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. We really want the kids to see. It's a great museum. If you haven't walked through it, you should, because it's really captures Delaware's history, and it's really quite something. It's really magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other new programming that we're introducing for Saturday is up in the Olympia Room, which is on the fourth floor of the Queen. Mm-hmm. From about 4:30 to 7:30, we're going to have an all-female comedy show. So we're calling it the No Bro Comedy Show. And we've got, we've got 12 comedians. Some of them are local, including Melissa Bernard, who is our hostess and MC for Wilma Wednesdays. She's going to be MCing and performing throughout the night. Missy Grinkwitz, who won Laugh Out Loud at the Grand a few years back. Just some very, very, very funny individuals. Yeah. And that's probably the only place at the entire festival that will not be appropriate for all ages. Mm-hmm. So, you know, parents should think twice before bringing their little ones into that room. And, but we are very proud that the entire event is free. And we've been really, really wanting to continue that, because we want this event to be, you know, regardless of who you are in the city, this event's for you. You know, that's why we're doing this, is we want you to be included and to come out and enjoy and to bring people with you.
And that's due to sponsors like Chase.
Yes.
And ShopRite and the City of Wilmington, Second Loma. Visit Wilmington. You know, there's a lot of people who have really stepped up. BPG.
The Ladybugfestival.com. We've got a sponsorship page, and you can see everybody that's been supporting this event, because without them, it would never have happened, and it certainly wouldn't be free to attend.
Right.
I was going to say, for the audience member that attends for free, it's easy to overlook that it might be free, but it's not without cost.
Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. That's very true. Right.
Yeah. So the corporate sponsorships and the support from the city are extremely important.
Yes.
To make this work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned food. You'll have vendors, food trucks.
Yep.
How does that work? Will the restaurants be open along the stretch?
Yeah, restaurants will be open. Okay. Food trucks. We've made an effort this year to have some vegan and vegetarian options. That's feedback we've gotten in past years. There's not enough good vegan and vegetarian options. So we're very pleased with the amount of selection that will be there this year. I don't think anybody's going to be hungry.
Okay.
Or well, thirsty.
I want to pursue this, continue the discussion, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are Gail Dillman and Jeremy Hebel from Gable Music Ventures. We're talking about the upcoming Ladybug Festival on July 20th and 21st in Wilmington. We've been talking about the evolution, sort of the growth of the audiences and the growth of the artist pool. Talk a little bit about how you've seen the audience change over time, if it has. You know, are you drawing in new people? I mean, it's you're featuring female artists, but what does that mean for the audiences that you attract?
We're attracting more and more people, which is incredibly wonderful. I think it's part of this whole re-identification process that Wilmington is going through, and certainly the state of Delaware. We are really being known as a destination for music and entertainment. And I think with that brings in a much wider group of people that come in and want to experience music. So we find little kids, babies in strollers to, you know, significantly older folk on the other end of the spectrum. And it really, they come as far from Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey. So it's really quite wonderful to see everybody in the moment getting along and listening to music.
Yeah, we have the benefit of being so close to the train station. So we're finding a lot more every year. More and more people are taking the train in from Philly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're basically drops you off at the event.
Right.
So that's
right.
A huge advantage that we have that, you know, we are continually trying to remind ourselves we need to be marketing as much as possible. I think that what's really striking is I think what we've started seeing is now that people are from out of town are coming in, you know, the local population is starting to wake up a little bit and say, oh, wait, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm. And it's in our backyard.
Right, they live on the block.
Right.
That are coming down.
Okay.
And thanks to Chase's partnership as well, you know, we're able to, instead of that massive group of people that typically will vacate the city as fast as possible.
Sure, they get off the train, walk across the street, and go back to the train in the afternoon.
Yeah. And it's a really cool thing to see, you know, them kind of making that decision. Oh, instead of hopping in my car and leaving as fast as possible after work, I'm going to hang out and listen mm-hmm. to music for a few hours, let the traffic dissipate, and then I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding that you're seeing a lot of people in the city that are interacting and having fun and coming together and enjoying, you know, dancing to music and eating food together that typically wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, we have seen through this event, the power that, you know, live music, especially affordable live music, can have on a community. I mean, it can really bring everybody together.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Friday night hours again are
About 5 to 10
on July 20th and on the 21st.
The 21st, like I said, Little Ladybugs is going to start inside the Delaware History Museum at 2 o'clock, but the rest of the music is going to start at 3 o'clock out on the street and at the various venues. And that's going to go until, I'd say the hours of the event are from 2 to 10:30. But the main event is from 8 to 10:30 downstairs at the Queen. And all the music on the street will probably wrap up by 8 o'clock.
In your website that shows who all the performers are?
Yes.
TheLadybugFestival.com.
Okay. TheLadybugFestival.com. Now, shifting gears a little bit, you are, over the last 7 years, you've been growing here in Wilmington. And this year, you're launching a new venture.
Yeah. We're really excited expanding to Milford. We kind of let it be known after last year and actually even going into last year that we were interested if there were other communities that would want to partner with us to try and bring a Ladybug Festival into their town. And there were a lot of different places that we went and visited. And, you know, when we went to Milford and parked and just, you know, kind of got out of the car and started having conversations, we kind of really fell in love with that little downtown area. It's if people haven't been, you got to go. I mean, it's really huge.
You have to go September 22nd for the Ladybug Festival.
That's right. But there's this gorgeous little river walk. There's all these wonderful little art galleries. And
I mean, just boutiques. It's just a really great, sweet little downtown area.
And we started walking in and talking to different businesses and found out that, you know, there used to be a Ladybug Festival there before we took that name and grew our event. And we could just see ladybugs everywhere. The town symbol is a heart with a ladybug. It's just, there's this real affinity because that is where the Ladybug Festival became the state bug. There was an elementary school teacher that lobbied the local legislator to have it become the state bug. So anyway, they really were very interested, and Downtown Milford, Inc. decided to really play a major role, helped us set up the meetings we needed, and we're just so excited to have it happen.
And that's September 22nd.
That'll go from 3 to 9 o'clock. There's 17 venues for music. There's going to be 40 acts. I mean, it's not going to be a small event. We're really excited about it. Yeah. We are still in need of sponsorship support. If anybody is listening that is interested in helping to make that happen in Milford, any amount helps, obviously. There are going to be some of the familiar Wilmington artists, Hoochie Coochie, Nolanda and Serena. Some of the favorites are definitely going to be down in Milford. But we're really excited to be working with a lot of the local artists that are not just in Milford, but Dover and, you know, the surrounding area as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, the date again for the Milford?
September 22nd.
September 22nd. And the hours?
Yeah. 3 to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And there is a planned rain date for Sunday, the 23rd.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you have a number of venues lined up. What are some of those venues?
Most of the business in town, like arenas, Park Place. There's this gorgeous little outdoor amphitheater that the library, the Riverfront Theater.
Cawley Mansion.
Cawsey. Which is unbelievably beautiful space. We cannot wait. But so many of the small shops and businesses have decided that even though they don't have a lot of space, they want something. They want to participate.
Studio 37.
Part of this, yeah. Gallery 37 is not only participating, they're actually building out an outdoor little stage off of their space. And they're a major sponsor of the event as well. So, again, without them, not sure it would be possible.
So is Downtown Milford your major contact for coordinating
Downtown
this project?
Downtown Milford, Inc., yes. Okay. It wouldn't be possible without them.
Which is Milford's Main Street program.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Because I know the mayor of Milford, Brian Shoup, has been very supportive of using the arts to really build up Milford as a destination place, really.
Yeah. They've had a lot of growth. A lot of people have moved into the area over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so they want to, again, like Wilmington did, you know, we're a place to go for dining and entertainment and art. And so everything is sort of located right within that main street. And people just need to come off of Route 1 and explore it. And this is a good reason to get people, you know, to make that detour or have it be their destination to come to Milford. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah. Last weekend in Smyrna really showed the power of what a really strong, free-to-attend event with a big diversity in music. I mean, there was about 10,000 people that attended Smyrna at night this past Friday. Again, that's an event that we saw go from maybe 1,500 people to 3,000 people to 5,000 people to 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing to see that. It's not about any one artist. It's about the event that it happens. You're going to explore things. You're going to find your next favorite artist. You're going to eat great food. You're going to be with your neighbors, and it's just a really great environment.
And what we know is that people today, they attend the arts for the experience, what these festivals really really offer.
That's exactly.
They offer an experience.
Not genre specific.
Right.
They're really a variety of music. And, you know, for Ladybug, it really is all about women, celebrating women in music. And so that's, you know, in today's world where the festival scene is really limited as to how many women are at the higher levels, this is our answer to saying, hey, it can be done. You know, you can have an all-female festival and have really outstanding music as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're surprised to commission some research to find what else was out there similar to the Ladybug Festival and really couldn't find anything like it, especially now that Lilith Fair is no longer in existence. But, you know, we're pretty clearly the largest celebration of women in music that we can find really anywhere, not just the country, but in the world. And so it's pretty amazing that something like that can be started in Wilmington in this really organic way.
And it's in Delaware. That's you know, something for the state to really embrace and be proud of. I mean, look at what we're doing here. You know, Firefly is one, and you know, we're here. I think it's amazing.
And we've got about 2 minutes left, about a minute and a half. So I want to give you an opportunity to plug another festival that you're working on that's coming up, I believe, in late September.
Yep, September 29th on Fort DuPont, and it's called Fortify Music Fest. Really fun concept. We're going to have two stages right next to each other, and the idea is we're going to have a really great tribute act on the first stage, and then right after that tribute act is done on the other stage, a really great local band, you know, doing a mix of originals and covers is going to perform. And if you like the band that you came to see the tribute, you're going to love that local act. So to fortify something is, you know, to build it up and to strengthen it, and that's what The Fort DuPont Redevelopment and Preservation Corporation is doing with that space. They're building homes and a marina and a hotel and all these amazing things. And that's the point of this event, is to really build up the fan bases of these great local and regional bands by saying, hey, you know, we're going to bring you in with a tribute in a band. Like, you know, if you love Bob Marley, you're really, really, really going to love Nappy Rhythm. If you love, you know, Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers, you are absolutely going to love Montana Wild X. Mm-hmm. If you love Led Zeppelin, you're absolutely going to love Joey DeTullio. And so we really had a lot of fun putting this together and conceptualizing the event.
And it's a beautiful piece of property overlooking the water. It's going to have, you know, lots of craft beers, food trucks. Mm-hmm. That is a ticketed event. Mm-hmm. There is early bird pricing right now up until August 1st.
It's only $35 up until August 1st, and then it'll be $50 up until the day of the
end. And you can bring a lawn chair, you can bring a blanket, you can watch music, bring a little pop-up tent, and relax and enjoy and listen to music and really experience Fort DuPont in a way that you never experienced it before.
Yeah, you're right, Gail. It really is a beautiful property. Now, will the stages be set up behind what was the old theater?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Yep.
A beautiful open space there.
The big grass field is basically parking for the
Okay.
Right.
And so the parking is going to be what was, I believe, the parade ground when the military occupied Fort DuPont.
Okay. That's all parking.
On-site free parking.
Yeah. And there's hiking trails and biking trails. So if you get tired of listening to music, you can go for a nice walk along the water.
Go to fortifyfest.com if you're interested in getting tickets.
Great. And with that, we need to sign off. Thanks so much for joining us.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.